Praise be Jesus and Mary. St. John Chrysostom, whose memorial we celebrate today, once said that the soul which is rich in mercy can never be overwhelmed with heavy troubles of the mind, he said. So if you want peace of mind, peace of heart, learn to be merciful. Learn to practice the works of mercy. And that spirit will continue our reflection on those works of mercy today, dealing with the third corporal work of mercy, which is to clothe the naked. For I was naked and you clothed me, our Lord will say to his followers. Matthew 25, verse 36. Who was the first person to actually perform this work of mercy? It's actually God himself, believe it or not. After the fall, we read in Genesis 3, verse 7, that Adam and Eve saw that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together to wear as aprons, it says. The biblical scholar Brant Petrie, commenting on this passage, notes that fig leaves actually put out a certain secretion that if you're using them as underwear, they're actually going to cause you a lot of, shall we say, distress. It'll be very distressful to wear them. Genesis 3:21 says that God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. It would have been a lot more pleasant than those fig leaves. So stripped of their first garment, which was their innocence, God clothes them with a garment of skin, really as an act of mercy. If we fast forward to New Testament times, when the multitudes asked John the Baptist how they could avoid the severe judgment of God, he said to them, "He who has two coats, let him share with him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise." Luke 3, verse 11. St. John pointed them to the works of mercy to avoid God's judgment, specifically sharing your clothes with those who are less fortunate. "Give to everyone who asks of you, and of him who takes away your goods, do not ask them again," Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 30. We remember him also saying in John 12, 8, he says, "The poor you will always have with you, but me you will not always have." That's true, but it's also true that we, in the poor, we have Jesus as well, too. So when we share our clothes or our food or our shelter with them, we actually share it with the Lord himself. St. James, for his part, says, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and is lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and without giving him anything that he needs for the body, what does it profit?" he said. So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. James 2, verses 15 through 17. There are actually a number of stories of the saints which echo this work of mercy, the work of clothing the naked. The other day I was reading about St. Rupert of Salzburg, how he, when he was young, one day he met a young boy alongside of the street. He was poorly dressed. He was shivering in the cold. Rupert, who was well off, without even hesitation, he took off the clothes that he had and he covered the child. Not long after that, he himself fell asleep on the side of the hill, and during a sleep, he actually had a vision. He saw in his vision a multitude of white angels with golden wings, and they were going and coming to near where he was laying down. He saw the child Jesus high above them, seated on a throne of light. Two of the angels went toward the Lord, carrying clothes in their hands. They were the clothes that St. Rupert had actually given to that boy on the road. And when the angels came near to the throne, our Lord had them put those same clothes on him. And Jesus said to the other angels that were looking on, he said, "It was little Rupert who gave me these garments. In return for his charity to me, I'm going to take him up to heaven and clothe him with robes of glory and immortality, and he will shine among my saints forever." Very beautiful little story, little anecdote. St. Francis of Assisi as well, when he was on his way to a military battle against Perugia, I believe, along the way he came across a knight who had fallen into poverty, and Francis was moved with compassion. He gave the knight all of his armor so that he could fight in the battle. God rewarded Francis with a special prophetic dream. right after that as a reward for his generosity. So if we're looking to serve the Lord, truly serve him, God is going to provide some opportunities for us like this, like he always provides for his saints. In another sense, clothing the naked can be practiced by teaching people, especially young girls, how to dress modestly, how to dress with dignity. It can also mean giving women things to cover up with when they're dressed immodestly, too. In some of the shrines in Italy, which the friars staffed, the religious sisters would actually stand outside of the shrine with shawls and other types of bodily covering for they would give to women who wanted to enter into the church but were not dressed properly. It was a concrete way of these sisters actually practicing this work of mercy, and also a lot of times it gave them the opportunity to practice the spiritual work of mercy or forgiveness too, when that corporal work of mercy met with disdain and hostility, which it does when you try to tell people they're not dressed very well. The modern feminist movement, which is really anti-feminine, has really poisoned the minds of a lot of people, unfortunately. Among other things, it's caused feminine modesty to be thrown out the window. Something that needs to be recovered if we want to be pleasing to God and to live in his grace as well. Is there a sacramental application to this work of mercy, to clothing the naked? Yes, there is. Besides baptism, which is our first spiritual clothing, as it were, the spiritually naked are clothed, or rather they're reclothed in God's grace when they make a good confession. Every time a priest hears a confession of someone who's in mortal sin and the penitent confesses all their mortal sins, is repentant for having committed them, and has a firm purpose of amendment as well, meaning that they're going to make a sincere effort to avoid those sins in the future. Every time a priest absolves someone like that from those sins, their sins, he reclothes them in God's grace, in God's favor, essentially in God's friendship. He reclothes them in God's mercy and his love. So those who are naked spiritually are those who are still living with unconfessed mortal sin on their souls. If you're aware of this, these people, if you know them, you can send them to what we might call the Goodwill Spiritual Store, the nearest confessional, right? It's like Goodwill, but it's a lot better too. It's even free, so it's even cheaper than Goodwill. Encourage people to go back to confession. You're helping to clothe the naked when you do that, believe it or not. You could even think of this work of mercy in this way. When you clothe yourself in grace and in virtue, you're clothing Christ. The first spiritual obligation that we have is to ourselves, not to our neighbor. First duty is to save your own soul, and then to help save your neighbor. That's why the second great commandment is to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So proper self-love, ordered self-love comes first. And it means that I'm actually living in God's grace and practicing virtue. And that way of living will naturally extend to helping others if you're doing that. When people see us, when they hear our words, when they encounter us, hopefully, when they see our lives, they should walk away more clothed in virtue, more clothed in repentance, even more clothed in goodness than they were before they encountered us. The apostle speaks of spiritual clothing in Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, when he says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." When we ourselves are clothed with these virtues, we weave a garment for the cold and shivering Christ. That's what Origen said specifically, meaning that if we have these qualities, we will help others put on or embrace these virtues as well. St. Francis de Sales knew how to say no to someone in such a way that they were so edified and even grateful for having received that no. The cure of Ars had a similar way of radiating the goodness and the holiness of God, that people walked away from him, too, more clothed in virtue, more humble, more kind, more clothed in goodness in general. One biblical commentator commenting on our Lord's words, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," says that mercy is a covering, meaning that it covers the miseries of others and at the same time it redeems the faults and the miseries of the one who's merciful. And here we'll end by quoting Shakespeare again from The Merchant of Venice, where the protagonist Portia says, "The quality of mercy is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes." So mercy is a double blessing. It blesses you. It blesses me as well when I'm merciful. Let's ask Our Lady then to be able to help clothe those who are naked, those who need proper clothing, both material, spiritual, and even sacramental. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.